Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents
Curtain Time!
Makers of Snickers welcome you to Curtain Time. A gay and brilliant crowd fills the lobby tonight, anxious to greet the new play. And here in time for the first act is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, I understand tonight's play has to do with advertising.
Yes, John. It's also an amusing comedy romance. But there's the overture. So we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, now that we're seated, let's glance through the program. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in Grandmother Knew Best by Jim Pease. Mr. Elders plays the part of Ted Spaulding, and Miss Sargent is cast in the role of Polly Converse.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of Grandmother Knew Best. The scene is the office of Ted Spaulding, copy chief of a large advertising agency. With him is Ken Barlow, the art director.
Ken, you've got to do something about the artwork we're getting for the Woodford account.
What's the matter with it?
Well, it's nothing I can put a finger on exactly, but...
Is the client beefing?
Not yet, but I can feel it coming.
Second sight Spaulding, huh? Well, nuts to that.
You mean you won't do anything about it?
If the client's happy, I'm happy. Look, Ted, just what bothers you about those drawings anyway?
Oh, it's the colors or the perspective or something.
That's what I like about you. You're so definite.
Besides, the artist is a woman.
And what a woman.
All right, so she makes you run a temperature, but she's still a woman.
And what's wrong with anybody that can fill a pair of nylons the way she does being a woman?
Nothing, except that I don't like women in business. They make trouble.
Yeah, such nice trouble.
I wouldn't have a female copywriter if she had a letter of recommendation from Shakespeare.
Well, sure, she'd be too old.
A woman around a copy department is about as much help as a celluloid stove. They can't write, they gush. They smell the place up like a powder room.
Well, anything's better than those fine-cut motorman's gloves you smoke.
You tell a woman she can't write, and what does she do? She weeps.
That's the way I like them. You can give them that old there routine and pat them on the shoulder.
And the next thing you know, she's the boss. No thanks, Barlow. As long as I'm copy chief here, there'll never be a female writer in my... Excuse me. Spaulding speaking. Okay, B.J., got to run, Ken. Old man Wilder wants me.
Okay. I'll see you later.
Check. And look, do something about that artist, will you? Get rid of her, I mean.
Come in. Ah, oh, Ted, come in, my boy. Come in.
Okay.
Ted, I want you to meet Polly Converse. Polly, this is Ted Spaulding, our copy chief.
How do you do?
Hello.
You'll be glad to know Polly is joining us, Ted.
I will. I mean, she is.
I'm just dying to write advertising copy, Mr. Spaulding.
Did you say write?
Yes. You know, that stuff that says you, too, can have muscles like Rita Hayworth.
I've told Polly she'd be working with the best copy chief in the business, Ted.
Now, look, I don't want to seem uncooperative.
Oh, I know I won't be much good at first, but it isn't as if I can't write at all. I wrote a poem once.
Oh, suffering salamander, she wrote a poem.
Really very good, too, Ted.
Oh, why do these things have to happen to me? I've been good to my mother. I eat my Wheaties every morning. What's my reward? She wrote a poem.
Now, just a minute, Spaulding.
B.J., burn me at the stake. Send me to Congress, but don't ask me to take on a woman copywriter. Well, this is your cubbyhole, Miss Converse.
Oh, you mean I have an office all to myself?
Of course. You've got to have quiet to write copy.
Oh, but I don't, Mr. Spaulding. Why, I wrote my poem in ladies' underwear at the Bonton department store.
Well, wasn't it chilly?
Oh, no. That is, you don't understand. I was working there.
Oh, well, that's different. I'll send the office boy in with some pencils and stuff. See you later.
Oh, but don't you want to...
You'll have to excuse me, Miss Converse. I'll drop in after you're settled.
Barlow.
This is Ted, Ken. What's the idea of changing these Conway ketchup layouts?
Oh, Polly thought of a couple of things and...
Polly?
Well, sure, Polly.
Ken, you ought to know better than to change layouts on some starry-eyed female say-so.
But Polly comes up with some darn good gimmicks every now and then.
I know, but things are supposed to go through channels.
You're just gripe because Polly's old man heads up an outfit with an advertising account that BJ wants to get, and because he made you hire her to give him an in.
Nobody made me hire her. BJ explained the situation to me and...
He also twisted your arm.
See here.
Look, you can't fire the gal, so you might as well make the best of it.
Okay. But I can't help it if she quits, can I?
She wouldn't quit if you punched her in the nose. She's nuts about advertising.
Well, maybe she'll get over that when old man Grayson gets through with her.
What's Grayson got to do with it?
Oh, I just sent Miss Converse over to get him to okay running his ads without his picture in them.
Ted, you wouldn't do a thing like that.
It's done.
Spaulding, you're a heel. Grayson's been running that puss of his in his ads for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You should have given her something easy, like getting the old buzzer to stick his hand in an electric fan. That poor kid, she's probably in tears right now.
Oh, Mr. Grayson, I really think that's the funniest story I ever heard.
You don't either, young woman. But I like your laugh just the same. You haven't taught it to do tricks.
Tricks?
I mean the way those young fellas laugh, the ones your agency's been sending around. They're polite one minute and bored the next.
Oh, but I couldn't be bored talking with you. Not after you said you liked my poem.
I like the way you made me do something about this throat of mine, too.
Well, I only did what my grandmother taught me. She didn't believe in running to doctors for little things.
Your grandmother was a smart woman. Goose grease and a woolen sock for a sore throat. I haven't been fixed up like this since I was a boy.
Grandmother always said it had to be a gray sock, too.
And this safety pin you fastened it with... I haven't seen one that size since I got too old to have my pants pinned to my Ferris waist. Where'd you find it?
In the same little store where I got the sock and the goose grease.
Oh.
They have rock candy and licorice shaped like a spoon.
I used to get licorice shaped like a plug of tobacco back home. I got licked once because my folks thought it was tobacco.
Oh.
Time's getting on.
Oh, dear, I'd forgotten this was really a business call.
Of course, I know you're here to get me to take my picture out of my advertisements.
Oh, well, yes.
The agency's been hinting around at it. Never come right out, but they show me layouts without my picture in them.
I think you ought to keep your picture in the ads, Mr. Grayson.
That's so? Why?
Well, I don't know just how to say it, but I think your picture tells people something about your product.
What?
Oh, that you're old-fashioned, in a good way, I mean.
First time I ever heard that.
Well, it's like believing in wool socks and goose grease and making honest goods.
You got a point there, young woman. You sure B.J. Wilder didn't think it up for you?
But he wants you to take your picture out of the ads.
Because he's smart enough to figure I'd do just the opposite.
But, Mr. Grayson...
Well, maybe you figured it out that way,
I just said what I believe.
You know, I guess maybe that's so. Your grandmother would have done the same thing. But I'm going to take that mug of mine out of the ads anyway.
But why?
Because I'm sick of seeing it there. And if it gets me down, what does it do to the folks who read the ads?
I
only kept it in because those young squirts from the agency got my dander up.
Well, if you really want to take it out...
I do. And that's not all I'm going to do either. Young lady?
Yes?
Pin this thing around my neck a bit tighter. Then I'll tell you the rest of it.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Annette Sargent. And now, John Weigel.
These autumn days, all of us like to spend some time out of doors with the rest of the family, enjoying one of those rare little treats that is always a pleasure. For example, a treat like the delightful taste of a Snickers candy bar. From the moment you first sink your teeth into a Snickers bar, you know that you are enjoying the finest in candy pleasure. For in each bite, you taste the rare flavor combination of the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, packed with crisp, whole, freshly roasted peanuts, and the soft nougat center that is abundantly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. All blend together to make each enjoyable mouthful a real taste thrill, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers. Here is a special announcement. Remember the name Mars. Mars, the toasted almond bar. Save your wrappers from this luscious new companion bar to Snickers, for with them, you may win up to $1,000 in weekly contests. Listen for details next Saturday on Curtain Time.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the second act of Grandmother Knew Best, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Ted Spaulding, copy chief of an advertising agency, was forced to hire Polly Converse against his will. And so, in the hope she'd quit, he sent her over to get Old Man Grayson, a very tough client, to take his picture out of his advertisements. Others had tried this and failed, but Polly didn't. Well, it's now later the same day. Polly is telling Ted and Ken Barlow what happened.
So, after I fixed the sock with the goose grease on it around his neck...
You mean you... You actually...
I did.
Ted, this is for the book. The great Hiram Grayson with a sock full of goose grease around his neck.
It was a gray sock.
Gray? Why gray?
Because my grandmother always said gray ones are best, except for Quincy.
What did she use for Quincy? Pink?
No. Kerosene on a lump of sugar.
Holy cats. Kerosene? All you'd need to get lit would be a match.
Miss Converse... This is all very interesting,
but... Don't you want to hear the rest?
Some other time.
Oh, but I mean about taking Mr. Grayson's picture out of the ads.
Well, don't be too disappointed. After all, our best men have failed
But he wants to take his picture out of the ads.
Miss Converse, are you trying to be funny?
I'm only trying to tell you what Mr. Grayson wants. He said to take his picture out of the ad.
This'll kill BJ.
Mr. Grayson also wants to add a lot of magazines to his list.
You mean he's increasing his appropriation?
By 50%.
Oh, brother.
Mr. Spaulding, is anything wrong? You look sort of funny.
He always looks that way when he eats crow, Polly. The feathers get in his teeth.
If you and Miss Converse will excuse me, Barlow, I have some copy to get out.
But Mr. Spaulding...
You can put it all in a written report.
Come on, Polly. He wants to be alone.
I guess that's the general idea.
So long, Ted. And remember what Confucius said. Never pull a fast one on a lady. It might bounce.
Ken, he didn't even say thank you.
For what? Breaking his heart?
But I only did what he sent me out to do. Plus...
That plus is what did it. By boosting his appropriation 50%, Grayson becomes our biggest account. That really did it as far as Ted's concerned.
But why, Ken? Why?
Polly, don't you know that Ted never expected you to get anywhere with old Grayson?
You mean he didn't want me to get anywhere with him?
You're getting warm.
But that's silly.
Who says it isn't? But Mr. Spaulding isn't exactly nuts about having a woman copywriter in his department.
Oh.
Especially one whose papa controls an account.
What?
Well, Mr. Spaulding figures he had to take you on because it might do his boss some good.
Oh, so that's it.
I wouldn't have said anything if Ted hadn't given you the freeze just now, Polly.
This is funny. He gave me the freeze, and I'm burning up.
Oh, Ted really isn't a bad guy. He just takes his job seriously. Besides, women scare him to death.
Well, he doesn't have to be scared of me. I'm leaving here right now. And if I never see that conceited, selfish, narrow-minded goon again, it'll be much too soon.
Oh, Polly, wait a minute. Oh, well, guess I better deliver the news. Ted.
You still here?
I'm here, but Polly isn't.
Meaning what?
Polly's quitting.
You mean leaving the agency?
Right, and in a huff.
But I didn't want her to do anything like that. I mean, that's swell.
Wilder, do you mean to tell me you let that young woman leave the agency?
What could I do, Mr. Grayson? She wanted to quit.
You could have given her a partnership or bought her a mink coat. That girl's got more brains than all your outfit put together.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
But I would. Here I get to thinking about licorice shaped like a spoon.
What? Shaped like a what?
And nobody can find a place that sells it. Wilder, you get that young woman back here, or else.
Or else?
Or else I'll turn my account over to Bailey, Benson, Beagle, and Pratt.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I'll give you just 1 week.
Spaulding, you've got to get that girl back here.
Oh, come now, BJ.
You've got just 1 week, or else.
Or else?
If I lose Grayson's account, I can't afford to pay your salary, Ted.
Gee, and I was figuring with his billing going up, I might even get a raise.
Get Polly Converse back here, and you may be right.
If I can do that, BJ, I won't need money. When I want anything, I'll just rub a lamp or something.
And all you have to do is get Polly to come back to work here, huh?
That's all, Ken. Well, it's been swell working with you.
Hey, you mean you're quitting?
Yep. As the lollipop said to the little boy, I know when I'm licked.
Oh. Oh, Ted, there must be some way you can... Hey, I think I know how.
Look, I don't want the FBI on my neck.
What I'm thinking of goes around your neck. Listen, I'll tell you all about it.
Gee, I hope she's home. Hello?
Ted Spaulding, what are you doing here?
It's my throat.
Oh? Did you cut it, I hope?
No, but it's kind of sore.
Good. I hope it's nothing trivial.
I thought maybe you could do something, you know, goose grease, the way you did for old man Grayson. It really hurts, Polly.
Miss Converse to you?
Look, I don't blame you for being mad, but I feel awful.
Why don't you see a doctor?
I don't know any.
Oh?
This is the first time I've been sick since I left home.
Which just shows that you should have stayed there.
Please, I'm losing my voice.
Oh, all right. Come on in.
Thanks. Thanks.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Now open your mouth. Say ah.
Ah.
Looks pretty bad.
It does.
This might be something serious.
I told you it hurt pretty bad.
But I think I can fix it. Only I'll have to go to a certain store to get some things.
Like goose grease and a wool sock?
Oh, you're too far gone for them.
Too far gone?
Don't worry. My grandmother told me what to do for this.
She did?
You lie down on the Davenport over there, and I'll run out to the store. I'll be back in a jiffy.
Hello, this is Mr. Spaulding. Oh, my voice? Just had a frog in my throat. Let me talk to Mr. Barlow. Oh, Ken? Sure, it worked. I put on a perfect act, and she's out getting something to treat me with. I was so good, my throat feels funny right now. Oh, don't be a dope. I'm only kidding. Look, I'd better hang up. She'll be getting back any minute. Yeah, I'll let you know as soon as anything happens. So long.
How do you feel now?
Terrible.
Well, you'll be better soon. I had to go to 3 places to find some lump sugar.
Lump sugar?
Yes, it's awfully scarce. But the kerosene was easy.
Kerosene?
It's the only thing for Quincy. Kerosene on lump sugar.
You think I've got Quincy?
Oh, I'm sure of it. But just let me soak some of this sugar in the kerosene.
I don't want to make a lot of bother for you.
It's no bother at all.
I feel a lot better.
You only think you do. Quincy is tricky, you know.
But I...
Now you just lie still until I get 10 or 15 lumps of sugar soaked in kerosene.
How many lumps?
Oh, 10 at least.
Oh, no.
Sometimes it takes 20 or 30. But you'll be surprised how different it makes you feel.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, here is John Weigel
If you pass your favorite candy counter tomorrow and pick up a Snickers candy bar, you will be treating yourself to a real tradition in candy pleasure. For candy lovers of all ages have long considered a Snickers bar a special candy thrill. You begin to enjoy a Snickers bar the moment the crisp wrapper first crackles open in your hand, and you recognize that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate. Then, with each bite, you taste the delightful flavor of the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, packed with crisp, whole, freshly roasted peanuts, and the soft nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. Altogether, it is the combination of the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, crisp peanuts, and soft nougat that gives you that rare taste blend you will find only in a Snickers bar. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers. Remember, starting next Saturday, the makers of Mars, the toasted almond bar, will offer $1,500 in weekly prizes in a big new 6-week contest. So be sure to save your wrappers from Mars, the toasted almond bar. Listen for complete details next Saturday on Curtain Time.
There's the call for the third act of Grandmother Knew Best, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. When Polly Converse discovered Ted Spaulding hired her only because her father controlled an advertising account, well, she quit. But he's been told to get her back, or else. To do so, he pretended to have a sore throat and called on her at her apartment. Well, now, a short time later, Ken Barlow, who also works at the same agency, is at the phone.
Hello?
Polly, this is Ken Barlow. Is Ted Spaulding there?
Yes. How did you know?
Well, he had a sore throat, and I said something about how you fixed up old man Grayson with goose grease, and so...
So you put him up to it?
Well, it was pretty serious. Old man Grayson said he'd take his account away from us if Ted didn't get you back here, and...
And you thought I just couldn't resist a chance to doctor Ted up with my grandmother's remedies.
Well,
you also thought my sympathies would be stirred.
Look, Polly, something's come up, and I've got to talk to Ted.
I'm sorry, but he's quarantined.
Quarantined?
With mumps.
Holy cats.
He looks like something in a window on Halloween. Oh, Kenny, he's really sick, and it's partly my fault.
Your fault?
I had a hunch he came here as a gag, and I went out and got some lump sugar and kerosene.
Oh, brother.
And then I came back while he was talking to you on the phone about the fast one he was pulling on me.
Uh-oh.
And that made me so mad, I gave him a whole lot of sugar and kerosene.
Good grief.
He got awfully feverish, and I was so scared I called a doctor. Now he's under quarantine.
That's just dandy. BJ is tearing his hair because he's got a chance to solicit a big account and...
Oh, dear.
Listen, Polly, can you talk to him?
Oh, through the door. He has a nurse.
All right. Tell him the account is Barton's Hair Tonic, $1.5 million a year. If he can do 10 ads, we'll be in, and Grayson can go fly a kite.
You mean if you get the Barton account... Ted won't have to get me to come back to the agency?
Well, I didn't mean that exactly, but...
But that's it, just the same. Oh, all right, I'll tell him.
Swell.
But maybe the nurse won't let me have anything he touches because of the quarantine.
Well, ask her if you couldn't sterilize the stuff in the oven or something.
Oh, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, you're a peach, kid. Call me as soon as you know anything. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, BJ, you heard my end of it.
You think she'll cooperate?
I told you she loves the guy, didn't I?
Sure, but I don't see why she should.
Well, she's a woman, isn't she? And Ted's a man.
Barlow, I've been married 3 times, and I still don't understand women.
You don't understand women? Solomon married 1,000 dames, and what did he know about them? Barlow speaking. He did, Polly? Wonderful. Okay, we'll be waiting for you. Ted did it, BJ.
Great.
Polly's waiting for the nurse to put him in the oven now. Barlow speaking. Oh, no, Polly. But did you tell Ted? Holy cats, we'll get the doc. Do anything, anything. How do you like that?
What?
The oven got too hot and the copy caught fire.
Holy smoke!
What's more, the nurse gave Ted a hypo after he finished the copy, and he's making Rip Van Winkle look like an insomniac.
Look, operator, I want to die in peace and... What?
Polly Converse? She says she's got what? Well, send her in and have them find B.J.
Hi, Ken.
Ted, you're back.
Well, most of me.
Gosh, it's swell to see you. B.J. will kiss you.
What for? I fell down on getting Polly back, and with a nurse burning up that Barton copy.
Sure, but with that second batch of ads you wrote getting us the Barton account.
What second batch of ads?
Well, the ones Polly brought in.
The ones Polly...
Here, I got the proofs right here. Take a look. They worked out like $1 million.
Polly brought these in?
Sure. And, brother, that is advertising copy.
But, Ken, I...
Ken, have you got the proofs of the... Oh.
Hello, Polly.
I was just showing Ted the...
Polly, you're back.
Yes.
And old man Grayson's purring like a cat full of milk.
Polly, you know that sore throat I was supposed to have was just a gag to get you back here, don't you?
Of course. You're not a very good actor.
And not only is Grayson staying with the agency,
you mean
but...
you knew that, Polly? And you came back?
Yes.
Look, if you two don't mind, I'm going somewhere and see if I can finish a sentence.
Are you going to stay now, Polly? With me back?
Well, I...
You'll have to stay to write the Barton copy. You wrote the ads that got the account.
But everyone thinks you wrote them. I told Ken and B.J. that the doctor did something to counteract that hypo the nurse gave you.
But I slept for 2 days after I wrote those ads.
Just the same, the Barton people think you wrote their copy. If they hear it was done by a woman instead of you, why they'll...
You mean they think the way I used to, that women can't write copy?
Yes, and I don't want B.J. to lose the account.
There's no danger of that, so long as you're here to write more ads.
Well, I could write them, and you could copy them.
Now, look, I'm not that kind of a guy.
No, I guess you aren't.
Besides, I'd be a chump to get into a spot where you could expose me anytime you wanted to.
Ted Spaulding, if you think I go in for blackmail...
I think you're wonderful, Polly.
Oh?
I also know how to keep you quiet.
You do?
The law says a wife can't testify against her husband.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Want to check with a lawyer?
Ted, remember I told you that my grandmother didn't believe in running to doctors about little things you can attend to yourself?
Sure, but...
A grandmother felt the same way about lawyers, darling.
The curtain falls on the last act of another Curtain Time play brought to you by the makers of Snickers.
And now, here are the stars of Curtain Time with a word about next week's play.
Well, first, Pat, let me say that because daylight time ends in some areas tomorrow, some of our listeners may hear Curtain Time at a different hour beginning next week.
Yes, and for that reason, we suggest that everybody check the radio column of his local newspaper for the exact time.
And now, Pat, about next week's play. It's a romantic comedy.
And it's called Part-Time Husband.
Which sounds quite intriguing. Thanks and good night, Nanette Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night, Pat.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting after-theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your day every Saturday when the makers of Snickers present...
Curtain Time!
Each week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again when we will announce details of the big new Mars contest on Curtain Time.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ, NBC in Chicago. 7 p.m. BUL OVA, Bulova Watch Time.